The simplest history of the universe in imaginary time is a round sphere, like the surface of the Earth, but with two more dimensions. It determines a history of the universe in the real time that we experience, in which the universe is the same at every point of space and is expanding in time. In these respects, it is like the universe we live in, but the rate of expansion is very rapid, and it keeps on getting faster. Such accelerating expansion is called inflation, because it's like the way prices go up and up at an ever-increasing rate. Inflation may be a law of nature. Inflation in Germany rose after the peace until, by February 1920, the price level was 5 times as high as it had been in 1918. After July 1922, the phase of hyperinflation began. All confidence in money vanished, and the price index rose faster and faster for 15 months, outpacing the printing presses, which couldn't produce money as fast as it was depreciating. By late 1923, 300 paper mills were working at top speed, and 150 printing companies had 2,000 presses running day and night, turning out currency. Inflation in prices is generally held to be a bad thing, but in the case of the universe, inflation is very beneficial. The large amount of expansion smooths out any lumps and bumps that there may have been in the early universe. As the universe expands, it borrows energy from the gravitational field to create more matter. The positive matter energy is exactly balanced by the negative gravitational energy, so the total energy is zero. When the universe doubles in size, the matter and gravitational energies both double, so twice zero is still zero. If only the banking world were so simple. If the history of the universe in imaginary time were a perfectly round sphere, the corresponding history in real time would be a universe that continued to expand in an inflationary manner forever. While the universe is inflating, matter could not fall together to form galaxies and stars, and life, let alone intelligent life, like us, couldn't develop. Thus, although histories of the universe in imaginary time that are perfectly round spheres are allowed by the notion of multiple histories, they're not of much interest. However, histories in imaginary time that are slightly flattened at the south pole of the spheres are much more relevant. In this case, the corresponding history in real time will expand in an accelerated inflationary manner at first, but then the expansion will begin to slow down and galaxies can form. In order for intelligent life to be able to develop, the flattening at the south pole must be very slight. This will mean that the universe will expand initially by an enormous amount. The record level of monetary inflation occurred in Germany between the world wars, when prices rose billions of times. But the amount of inflation that must have occurred in the universe is at least a billion, billion, billion times that. Because of the uncertainty principle, there won't be just one history of the universe that contains intelligent life. Instead, the histories in imaginary time will be a whole family of slightly deformed spheres, each of which corresponds to a history in real time in which the universe inflates for a long time but not indefinitely. We could then ask which of these allowable histories is the most probable. It turns out that the most probable histories are not completely smooth but have tiny ups and downs. The ripples on the most probable histories really are minuscule. The departures from smoothness are of the order of 1 part in 100,000. Nevertheless, although they're extremely small, we've managed to observe them as small variations in the microwaves that come to us from different directions in space. The Cosmic Background Explorer satellite was launched in 1989 and made a map of the sky in microwaves. Different colours indicate different temperatures, but the whole range, from red to blue, is only about 0.001 degree. Yet this is enough variation between different regions of the early universe for the extra gravitational attraction in the denser regions to stop them expanding eventually and to cause them to collapse again under their own gravity to form galaxies and stars. So in principle, at least, the COBE map is the blueprint for all the structures in the universe. What will be the future behavior of the most probable histories of the universe that are compatible with the appearance of intelligent beings? There seem to be various possibilities, depending on the amount of matter in the universe. If there's more than a certain critical amount, the gravitational attraction between the galaxies will slow them down and will eventually stop them from flying apart. They will then start falling towards each other and will all come together in a big crunch that will be the end of the history of the universe in real time. If the density of the universe is below the critical value, gravity is too weak to stop the galaxies from flying apart forever. All the stars will burn out, and the universe will get increasingly emptier and colder. So again, things will come to an end, but in a less dramatic way. Either way, the universe will last a good few billion years more. As well as matter, the universe may contain what is called vacuum energy, energy that's present even in apparently empty space. By Einstein's famous equation, E equals mc squared, this vacuum energy has mass. This means that it has a gravitational effect on the expansion of the universe. But remarkably enough, the effect of vacuum energy is the opposite of that of matter. Matter causes the expansion to slow down and can eventually stop and reverse it. On the other hand, vacuum energy causes the expansion to accelerate, as in inflation. In fact, vacuum energy acts just like the cosmological constant mentioned in Chapter 1, that Einstein added to his original equations in 1917, when he realized that they didn't admit a solution representing a static universe. After Hubble's discovery of the expansion of the universe, this motivation for adding a term to the equations disappeared, and Einstein rejected the cosmological constant as a mistake. However, it may not have been a mistake at all. As described in Chapter 2, we now realize that quantum theory implies that space-time is filled with quantum fluctuations. In a supersymmetric theory, the infinite positive and negative energies of these ground state fluctuations cancel out between particles of different spin. But we wouldn't expect the positive and negative energies to cancel so completely that there wasn't a small, finite amount of vacuum energy left over, because the universe is not in a supersymmetric state. The only surprise is that the vacuum energy is so nearly zero that it was not obvious some time ago. Maybe this is another example of the anthropic principle. A history with a larger vacuum energy would not have formed galaxies, so would not contain beings who could ask the question, why is the vacuum energy so low? We can try to determine the amounts of matter and vacuum energy in the universe from various observations. We can show the results in a diagram in which the matter density is a horizontal direction and vacuum energy is a vertical direction. A dotted line shows the boundary of the region in which intelligent life could develop. Observations of supernovas clustering and the microwave background each mark out regions in this diagram. Fortunately, all three regions have a common intersection. If the matter density and vacuum energy lie in this intersection, it means that the expansion of the universe has begun to speed up again after a long period of slowing down. It seems that inflation may be a law of nature.